All right. Well, it's good to be here. When we first heard of this conference, couldn't get here fast enough, and it's already been a blessing. Anyways, my name is Brother Todd. I was saved at a place called Bill Rice Ranch when I was about 18. But before that, I was going to a Christian school in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I was struggling whether or not I was really saved. So I had just won the Christian Character of the Year award, because Baptist churches like to give out all kinds of awards to make you feel good and make you feel like you're doing the Christian life and all that stuff. Well, I just won that award, and I was like, well, I don't even know if I'm really saved or not. You know, everybody goes through those periods in their life where, boy, I hope I'm really saved. But you know, the Bible does say you can know. You know, Paul says he knew who he believed in. And was persuaded. So anyways, I went to the Bill Rice Ranch, and Bill Rice was preaching. And he kept saying, well, I don't care if you just won some type of Christian Character Award. I was like, well, I wonder if he's speaking to me. Well, you know, the Baptist thing is you have to go down to the altar and, you know, say their prayer and all that stuff. And I was already thinking back then, I know it's not that. I know that it's Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sins. Well, anyways, after that, Bill Rice Ranch and nailing down my salvation and really trusting in Jesus Christ and His shed blood for my sin, I went to Liberty Baptist University with Jerry Falwell. And the first Bible class that I went to, they started attacking the King James Bible. And I believed this book before I went there. Now, the pastor that I had was from a Bible Baptist Fellowship church. He wasn't strong on the King James, and he didn't know anything about rightly dividing it. But he wouldn't push the issue. But there was a couple of us in the church that would push the issue and say, you're not saying enough about the King James Bible and believing it. After all, if you don't believe it, according to Paul, God can't work in you. You need to believe the words that are printed on this page for God to do something in your life. You need to believe it. Anyways, at Liberty Baptist, the first class I went to, they started attacking the book. And as the weeks went on, I stayed there about, I think, 2 months. Every different professor had a different version. So in order to go to that school, you would have to have one of those Bibles that has like 27 different versions in it. One of those real huge things to follow your teacher. Well, anyways, at that time, the New King James Bible was coming out. And they were making fun of a guy in Florida, Pensacola, Florida, that believed that it was perfect, every word in it. So I took off from Liberty Baptist, got on a bus, didn't know anybody, bought a 10-speed bicycle, and lived in the back of a pickup truck for 6 months until I got my faith back in this book. You know what? With all that's going on in Christianity right now, there is so much confusion. But you need to start with this book right here. You need to believe this book. Not only do you need to believe it, but you need to rightly divide it. Because even, I know a lot of folks that believe this book that are Baptist, but they don't rightly divide it. And their lives are falling apart. And I know that that's so true. If you don't rightly divide this book, your life is going to fall apart. You're going to start putting things on you that you can't even bear, because you're going to the wrong places of the Bible that aren't to you today. But anyways, as somebody that follows Paul, now when Brother Paulson said that he was looking for some other folks to preach, it's like, boy, what could you teach them? Because when you look at the website and all the stuff that Paul teaches and preaches on, boy, what's left? I mean, he's covered so much ground. But as a follower of Paul, we often hear that Paul's an apostle, he's a teacher, and he's a preacher. But one of the things I want to look at that Paul is Paul the minister. And it's kind of, I don't know, you know, if you want to put a title on the sermon, you know, call Paul the minister or whatever, I'm not big into that. But I wanted to go back through each one of Paul's books and pick out 13 verses that really hit me when I started studying and really digging in to Paul. But before we start in Romans, that's where we're going to go first. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a lot of times in your Christian life, you hear a lot of messages. You hear a lot of preaching. You do a lot of reading, or you should be. But if you don't learn it, and you don't receive it, and you don't do it, what good is it? Where is it going to get us in our Christian life? We need to receive it, and we need to learn it. And you know what? If you want to learn something, all right, and we all need to learn something, you need to learn Paul more than ever today. In the time, in the history where we're at, we need to learn Paul. Why? Because Paul is what? He is the teacher and the preacher and the apostle and the minister to the Gentiles. So if you're not reading or getting any preaching from Paul's epistles, what are you learning then? What are you being taught? You're learning things that don't apply to you today in the dispensation in which we live. So you're not going to be walking the way God wants you to walk where we're at in this dispensation, in the time in which we live. And that's why Christians' lives, and that's why my life was falling apart. Because I wasn't walking according to what God gave to Paul, what God dispensed to Paul. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. You notice whenever Paul talks about what he is, he always lets you know that it was because of God. You know, in the Baptist church, it's getting to the point where if you're not a doctor, if you don't have your doctorate, if you don't have a doctor of theology, you can't preach anymore. You have to be a doctor. And with all the doctors they have in the Baptist church now, look how sick they are. They're not getting any better, are they? They're sick. It's because they're caught up in the same thing that the world is caught up with, all these fancy and titles and degrees. Listen, you don't need to be a doctor to understand this book. What you need to know is you need to understand 2 Timothy 2:15. You need to rightly divide it. And let me ask you this. If Paul would have never been called, if Paul would have never showed up on the scene, would we have to rightly divide anything? Take Paul's 13 epistles out of your Bible and tell me, what do you have to divide? You wouldn't have to rightly divide. Isn't it interesting that verse was given to us by who? Paul. Because Paul preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's a difference there. And if you don't rightly divide, you are never going to be and get to the place where God wants you to be in your Christian walk. And that's what's really missing. You know, you always hear, are you saved? That's the first thing, you know, and you need to know that you're saved. But that's not where it stops. It's God wants you to walk for Him. Matter of fact, Paul says to walk worthy. You know, every day we should be asking ourselves, are we walking worthy? Are we walking the way God wants us to walk? All right, so Paul is a minister according to the grace that God gave to Paul. So what I want to do is, let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 7. And I tell you, Romans was tough for me because you need to hang on every word that's in Romans. Romans is just a great book to constantly read. But after really digging into Paul's books, the verse that really hit me is 7:24. Romans 7:24. And it's that first phrase there. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, I think we're in this country and in churches today, we're getting away from that word. We sing it in Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. But do you really think of yourself as a wretch? Wretched? I mean, when I wake up and you look at, and Paul's talking about the struggle of the Christian life and the flesh and the old nature and all that stuff. And Paul gets to a point where he says, oh, this is Paul saying this. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what we are. Without Christ, what are we? We're wretched. We're a wretch. And you know, we know these things. If you're reading Romans, you know, without Christ, if you're not rightly dividing your Bible, if you're not walking the walk, how can you not come to the conclusion that you're a wretch and we're wretched and the things that we're fighting? All right, let's continue on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let's see what God does with a wretch. First Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, that's why I love reading Paul's epistles, because in his epistles you find out all the wonderful things that the Lord does for you. I mean, after the cross, not before the cross, but after the cross, that's what God dispenses to Paul. And here, I like that word washed. That's what he does. He washes us. He takes that wretch and he washes you and cleanses you in his blood. Now listen, if we're washed in his blood, right, and we're justified and we're glorified, all the good stuff, you know what those are? Those are the spiritual blessings that Ephesians talks about. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have those spiritual blessings any time of the day than what the Pentecostals and the prosperity gospel preachers want to give you. I'd take the spiritual blessings any day. See, when you don't preach Paul's epistles, you no longer preach the cross. It's Paul's books that really nail down the cross of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Paul's the one that tells you that it's the preaching of the cross in Corinthians. We need to preach the cross. But it's what He did on the cross and how it applies to us. And if you don't start in Romans and read from Romans to Philemon, you're not going to understand the cross. All you're going to know is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's all you're going to know. But you're not going to know all the other wonderful things that that cross did for you. We're crucified with Christ. We can live for Him now because Christ is in us. We can live for Him. All right, so we're washed. All right, next one is 2 Corinthians 10:4. Boy, if we could only get these verses down. We'll start at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's that word warfare right there. You know, Christianity is so soft now. You know, and it amazes me because as a Baptist, they would love to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and talk about the good soldier of Jesus Christ. But that's where it stopped. But see, when you start bringing up the Apostle Paul and his doctrine, which he called my doctrine, you have just entered the battlefield. You have just entered the war. And believe me, it's amazing. I have a mechanic that works on my car, and he's a Baptist. And I try to bring up different things with him, you know, minister grace and go real slow with him. Well, when I started bringing up Paul's 13 epistles and really focusing in on those 13 books, it's like a grenade went off. And all these different things started coming out of his mouth. Well, that's the only part of the Bible you believe. That's the only part of the Bible you read. You know, and I had a preacher in Massachusetts say that pretty soon you're going to say Christ shed His blood for your sin. You know, you get all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, reading Paul's epistles, I understand my Savior more than I ever did before. I mean, Paul says that. Paul says, consider what I say, what the Lord gave to Paul, and you'll understand. And you know, that I think that's what a lot of believers don't have today, is they don't have understanding. Their marriage, their kids, the church they go to, it's all falling apart. Look at our country. Everything is falling apart. But you know what? I want to walk the walk. I want to live the Christian life according to what God gave to Paul. And I'll tell you what, it's needed more than ever. All right, let's go to Galatians 6, verse 9. You know, we're a wretch, we're washed, we're put into a battle, into a war. And this is what can happen once you start fighting the fight. As a matter of fact, Paul calls it a good fight. Look at Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, now is not the time to give up. I'll tell you what. When you start fighting the good fight of faith and really living for Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel according to what God gave to Paul, and all the attacks start coming your way, it's a fight, brother. And it's a battle. And it's easy to get tired and say, you know what, I'm just not going to bother with it anymore. You know, every time I have my car worked on, you know, this Baptist here wants to keep bringing up water baptism and the Lord, all the good stuff that Baptists believe in. Constantly. And sometimes it gets to the point where, you know what, I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to deal with it. But you know what, we can't be weary in well-doing. We need to continue. After all, if we don't give out this message, who's going to give it out? I mean, how many are really Pauline in their doctrine and in their walk? I mean, you've got all kinds of different titles out there, even the ones that claim to follow Paul. But you know what? They just can't stick to the verses that make it clear that Paul is our apostle. He's the teacher and the preacher to the Gentiles. Can it get any clearer than that? I mean, does Peter say that? Does John say that about to the Gentiles? It's Paul. Paul says it in your King James Bible. Why can't we just accept it? Because it doesn't have to do with religion and what they were taught. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. These are well-known verses too, but Paul, you know what? Paul really brings out what you need. When you read Paul's books, I'll tell you what, it's such a blessing to me to read Romans through Philemon and to really get to know the meat and the doctrine that Paul brings up in his 13 books. But let's start at Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now tell me, when you started following Paul, that you didn't see this come to life in your Christian walk. I'll tell you what, brother, we need to put on the whole armor of God so that we can what? Stand. We need to stand. Don't back down from this stuff. Do not back down from following the Apostle Paul. Let's stand with him. Let's preach and teach what God gave to him. You know, for thousands of years now in church history, we're getting so far away from the Pauline revelation. That's why when you try to witness to somebody and bring up the death, burial, and resurrection, they look at you kind of funny. Like they're expecting, you know, the born-again message. Or I need to ask Jesus into my heart. And then I need to do this. I need to do that. And this, all this stuff, when it's a gift, and He shed His blood. And if you would read Romans through Philemon, you would see that. But that's not where we're going anymore. We go everywhere in the Bible but where we need to be. All right, let's go on here. Let's go to Colossians 1:10. Let's start at verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this cause, we all, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants us to have a worthy walk. Let's walk for Him. I mean, how many Christians do you really know that are walking for Him? I tell you what, Paul says we're ambassadors. And He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We got an important job. Especially of us that follow the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. We need to have a worthy walk. You know, this thing of playing church and you know, wearing the right clothes, and which is important. Paul talks about modesty and that stuff. But you know, most people do it just to look good on Sunday. Listen, it's not about looking good on Sunday. It's about walking for the Lord. A worthy walk. After all, I think we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Are we not? We're gonna give an answer on how we lived our lives. You know, this stuff, it just escapes our minds so fast. It's amazing. I look at my own life. I tell you what, so many people, so many ministers and preachers always come out with a sermon on the successful Christian life. And then they have all their points and how to live it. You know what it is? It's the Word of God and prayer. And rightly dividing and believing this book. That's what it is. Listen, Christ is in us. We need to yield to Him. Yield to Christ. He's given us the power. He's given us the tools. All the things that we need. Why don't we live for Him? How comes our walk is not a worthy walk? All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Well, I'll tell you what, Paul's got so much. You know, there were so many things that I wanted to say, and I didn't know, you know, how many times I was going to be able to get up here. But the sermon that I'm really working on is Why I'm No Longer a Baptist. Dr. Ruckman has all these little booklets on why I'm not a Catholic and a Muslim and all these other things. But hopefully one day I'll get around to that one. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause, let's start at verse 12. That ye would walk worthy, there it is again, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe it. You know, you got a lot of folks hold this thing up and say they're a Bible believer. And I've been in a lot of homes where folks say they believe this book, but their families are falling apart. But yet, we have everything that God wants us to have so that it doesn't happen. See, the church in so many ways, the church is really a graveyard today. It's just dead. But it's so much like the world. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And that's what you have in most churches today. It's a form of godliness. You know, all these things you have to do, all these titles, and it just amazes me. Listen, all I want to do is to walk for God, have a worthy walk. And I want to witness for Him. And I want to believe this book, and I want to rightly divide it. I want to live for God. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I mean, there's not one person in here that doesn't want the rapture to happen and Christ to come back. I wish He'd come. But you know what? We have some things we need to do. But until then, let's direct our hearts to the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that the longer the Lord tarries, that probably Christians will start giving up on the rapture and the blessed hope that Paul calls it. But He is coming back. Don't give up. You know, eventually you're going to get away from the rapture because you're getting away from Pauline truth and the blessed hope. They already got away from the cross. They don't preach the cross anymore. They don't preach the walk anymore. With a Baptist, it's you win them, you wet them, you work them, and then you wear them out. That's what happened in that order. Then you get worn out as a Baptist. That's what happened to me. You just get tired of it. You know what? Because you're not living the Christian life. You're not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What God dispensed to Paul. And what God gave to Paul. Look at all these verses we're looking at. It's great stuff that you get from Paul. So if you're not reading Paul, you can't learn from Paul. And if you're not learning from Paul, guess what? You don't have any understanding. And you're looking around and seeing everything fall apart. And you're like, what in the world is going on? I'll tell you what, dig into Paul's books and read them. Read the entire Bible. But boy, really focus in on what Paul has to say to you to live the life he wants us to live. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul doesn't get away from this word here. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good what? There it is again. A war and a warfare. We're in a fight, brother. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's hold faith. If you don't hold faith, look what happened to verse 19. And that's a good verse to describe Christianity today. It's a shipwreck. That's what it is. It's a shipwreck. But it's a war. But God has given us some things. He's even telling Timothy. All right? So it's a war. All right, now, to me, 2 Timothy 2:15, this has to be one of the most important verses in the Bible. And we all concentrate on the rightly dividing part. All right, let's look at the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, but let's look at that workman. Listen, it's going to take some work, folks. You got to open up this book and start reading it. Genesis to Revelation, and rightly divide it. But you got to work at it. You got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Run the reference. Show the difference. You know, it's interesting because, you know, most Baptists out there, when it comes to dispensational and rightly dividing, they follow Larkin and they follow Scofield. Scofield gets pretty close, a lot closer than what Larkin did. But then, I always heard Dr. Ruckman say, you know, don't stop there. Right? Keep going. You know, take what they had that was right, and Larkin and Scofield, and then keep going. And then I went to a Bible Believers Baptist blowout in Connecticut, and Dr. Ruckman said that everything that he knows, the Lord's done showing him things in the Bible. Boy, what a statement to make! That you know he's all done with what he's going to get out of the Word of God. Boy, when I started following Paul, it's like my eyes just began. My understanding was just opened up. But you know, that all their systems, all right, all of them, Ruckman's, Larkin's, Schofield's, and all the other ones that are out there, their system, it's not according to what God gave Paul. They really do have a problem with Paul, knowing that he's the apostle to the Gentiles and our preacher and our teacher. They and the Bible plainly says it, and they just won't accept it. But anyways, we need to be a workman. And rightly divide. You just can't open your Bible half-heartedly. You need to dig into this. This is our treasure. You got to treasure this book. I'll tell you what, when I did go to Liberty Baptist, I mean, I was in tears. I thought that this book was perfect. It is. It is perfect. It's preserved. It's God's Word. But you go into an institution where you think they're going to teach you this book and believe it, and they don't. Listen, most denominations out there, they don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And they don't believe that we need to follow the Apostle Paul. They don't preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Romans makes it clear, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, He was a minister to who? The circumcision. Paul was a minister to the uncircumcision. How can you not see that in plain English in a King James Bible? All right, let's go on to Titus. I'm almost finished here. Titus chapter 2. We'll start at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Listen, folks, we need to watch out for the worldly lust and the things that are out there in the world. I mean, it's just everywhere. As soon as you step outside your door, it's there. The billboards, the music, it's all the filth and ungodliness. It's just all around us now. And you know what? God's given us grace. And grace teaches us to deny that stuff. So let me ask you. You know, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. All right? We know that. But grace goes farther than that. Grace teaches you how to live. You know, I get so tired of when you say you follow Paul and so forth, that, you know, they say, well, you believe then. That's the first thing this Baptist said to me. He said, well, you believe you can live however you want and live a life of sin. So I stopped back and said, well, then why did I get saved? Why did I get saved then? Just to go to heaven? Paul doesn't teach that. Paul doesn't teach that you get saved just to go to heaven. See, they don't know what Paul says because they don't read Paul's epistles. They couldn't tell you what's in Paul's 13 books. I'm telling you what, this Baptist was ready. He had the judgment and the wrath of God coming down on me. I think the lightning bolts are going to strike any minute now. Like this Baptist has the power to call down the fire of God. I'll tell you what, Baptists would love to have that power. I know they would. They would love to be the ones that rain down like they did on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone, fire. Baptists would love to do that. But see, God, through the Apostle Paul, has given us all the things that we need. And really what it is to walk worthy of the kingdom. To walk for Him. To live for Him. To be the ambassador that we need to be. And show, you know, I know as a Baptist, it's so easy to rebuke and to go right to the judgment and to call down God's wrath on them. Matter of fact, Brother Paulson just had a good message on that. We don't have it in order. Why is it like that? Why do we do that? It's because we have spent so much time and other parts of the Bible instead of where we need to be. Because that's what God did in the Old Testament. His wrath and His judgment came down. And when you look at Hebrews through Revelation, what's going to happen again? I mean, Revelation makes it clear. It's the day of His wrath. But Paul says we're delivered from the wrath to come. Thank God for that verse. We're delivered from the wrath to come. So those are just a few verses I wanted to share with you from Paul's epistles, because I'm telling you what, it really is a blessing, especially in your Christian life, to really learn and understand the Christian walk. Right? You're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to find it in Hebrews through Revelation. You're going to find it in Romans through Philemon. Our marching orders to us for today. All right. Now, I want to close out, though. This is probably kind of strange, but I want you to go to Isaiah. Isaiah 57. This is more towards the preachers out there that are against Paul, don't want to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And when I read this verse, and I pastored a few different churches, one in Germany, one in Colorado, as a Baptist. But when I started looking into this Paul stuff and really getting a hold of it, this verse really hit me. Because this is what you have today in most churches. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 56. I'm sorry, Isaiah 56. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Doesn't that sum it up? They're blind. And what good is a dog if it can't bark? They don't understand. That's why I love when Paul says, the Apostle Paul, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. What God gave to Paul. And I tell you what, it really is a blessing to be here with some like-minded believers. And, you know, because in Vermont, where we're from, and it's getting like that everywhere you go. Especially if you rightly divide and believe your King James Bible. They're scattered. Rightly dividers and people that really believe this book, they're scattered. They're there. Very few are left. But you know, that's why it's so important that we take what God gave to Paul and apply it to our lives and walk worthy of the kingdom. Because, you know, Him dying on the cross, and the cross is great stuff, but don't forget, we are going to the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to answer for our walk. And that's one of the things I really, you know, digging into Paul stuff, is I want to walk with him. I want to walk for him. I want to do the things that God wants me to do and live for Jesus Christ. All right.